Howdy, folks. Welcome to Solve This. I'm your host, Widget Walls, and this is a new podcast slash panel show slash improv audio buffet for neatcoffee.com. Now, this is not news to any of our erudite, highly cultured listeners, but the world is, to put it mildly, complicated. Problems and conflicts, they surround us every single day, but don't touch that dial. And kids, ask your parents what dials are. This isn't a show about problems. It's a show about solutions. Now, to that end, we have a panel here of four expert problem solvers. They will be working out a variety of different problems that I will be giving them, and I will receive, I will give them points based on creativity, ingenuity, originality, and for the most part, indiscriminately. Now, let's meet our panel. Because they have long and varied careers in the problem-solving business, what I'm going to do, just to give you a feel for how they do solve problems, is I'm going to ask each of them to search their memories and go back and share with us the first problem they can remember solving. J.J. Hawkins is the contributor of Website of Doom and also the man behind Mars Needs Podcast. Now, J.J., what is the first problem you can remember solving?
Well, I think the first thing I remember, it was probably the first time I had to go to the hospital as a child. I, true story, had eaten half a bottle of baby aspirin and washed it down with some apricot brandy. So the first thing I remember solving is knowing when to say when.
Well, I appreciate that. And even though this is a no points round, I think you get a bonus point just simply for being a cautionary tale. So thank you for that. Next, we have Neat Coffee's own artist in residence and so famous for helping people. She has her own podcast about it. We have Rox's Spaz House. Hi, Rox.
Hello.
Now, Rox, I would imagine you have been in the problem solving business for quite some time. What is the first problem you can remember tackling?
Very long indeed. I remember very young, Lisa Moore dropped her grandmother's dentures into a shallow grated sewer. She took them out of, she wanted to show off her grandmother's dentures.
As you do.
And as you do, because that's what you do as you're a gang of children. And she dropped them down the sewer. So in our expert, you know, as problem solving children, I managed to run up and find a fishing pole that was my dad's, and we literally attached sort of bubble gum, this horrible melange of bubble gum, a fishing hook, and I think tin foil, and we managed to get Lisa Moore's grandmother's dentures out of the sewer.
I hope you at least tried to. Did you, as children, know that you probably should disinfect them before you put them back?
We just put them back in. And I think Lisa, I'm like, oh, find one of those fizzy things, and I think she put an Alka-Seltzer instead of Efferdent into the glass before her grandmother woke up, because this is in the afternoon.
Okay. Thank you, Rox. We'll move on to Aaron Poole, who's a recovering podcaster and contributor also to the Website of Doom and unappointed Irish ambassador to the inner tubes. Now, Aaron, we're recording this on what's technically still your birthday in this time zone, but you are still the youngest person here, so surely you can remember an early problem that you solved. What would that be?
Well, I realized that there was no individual verb for playing the ukulele. Why did drumming and trumpeting have all the fun? So I decided that ukulele is a verb in itself, and that ukulele, ikulele, weekulele, and they shall kulele. So I thought I would give that to the world and solve that problem of saying having to play the ukulele, which just sounded stupid.
I appreciate the conjugation of the verb to ukulele. That was great. Or to Kalele, or whatever it would be at this point.
It sounds very Irish.
It might, and it would, coming from him. And last but most assuredly not least, we are joined by Misty Lee. Hi, Misty.
Everybody.
Hey. Now, Misty is a magician, improv comedian, actress, and is on staff as a medium at the Magic Castle in Hollywood. Misty, what's an early problem that you handled?
Well, I don't have any drunken baby or dirty dentures stories. And I was thinking, boy, I'm really boring. But when I was little, my dad always used to present a challenge and I could get out of trouble by beating him at chess. And so I figured out very quickly that once I could get him to the point where he was castling frequently with his rook, he did the exact same thing every time. So at 3 years old, I beat my father at chess.
That's fantastic.
To get out of trouble.
That's fantastic. Now, now I must ask, later on in life, when you learned that that would only work on your dad, did that pose problems for you?
Oh, no, he really played, and he very strongly encouraged me to be a good player. So I actually played pretty good chess for a really long time.
Nice.
Yeah, he never let me win. That's how I could get out of trouble, because he really, that was more important to him than grounding me for running over the hose with my tricycle. So, yeah, anyway, that was really boring. I just want to commend JJ, because the taste of those little orange baby aspirin are wicked delicious. And I'm actually jealous. He got an entire half bottle. They used to hide them from me. And I buy adult Centrum vitamins because they taste as close as possible, because St. Joseph changed their formula and they are no longer the same.
Oh, they, I miss Asper gum in the same way.
They probably
what
changed
the hell
it.
Is that?
Really? Oh my god, it's aspirin gum and it's orangey flavor. I'm surprised you don't know that.
That doesn't sound like a good idea at all.
It is. It's horrible. It has this horrible, interesting, likable taste.
You know, what is it? A blood thinner, and you can blow bubbles with it. That's fantastic.
And it tastes like a pickle.
It's wonderful. All right, so on that bombshell, our panel is introduced. Now, everyone at home, here's where you come in. Your part is to say, hi, panel, in unison, like you were here. Now, settle down, because people are probably staring at you. Now, that over with, we have a big problem to solve, and that is round one. This is a quick-fire round. I will offer up a problem to each of you in turn, and you simply respond with a sensible solution, or as sensible as you can manage. Now, JJ, we'll start with you. JJ, Pac-Man is your house guest for dinner. However, you didn't realize he requires that his dots be gluten-free.
Oh. I'm kind of uniquely suited for this because, you know, unfortunately, most of the things I do in my life don't pay. So the what I do that pays is I'm a baker. So I do have experience with wheat-free. The thing that you need to find out, though, the thing that I'm not finding out about Pac-Man is I would have to find out, of course, if he's lactose intolerant, if he has any problem with eggs. Because once you get rid of gluten and a lot of the gluten-free grains, they don't hold together because gluten is the protein that holds wheat together. So if he doesn't have a problem with eggs, I would probably make his pellets out of a nice rice flour. If he does have a problem with eggs, I would probably go with spelt, but there's a chance he might still have some allergies. Otherwise, I hate to be unfriendly, but, you know, he might just have to chomp on some carrots.
Okay. I think I'll give 2 points there for somehow veering this into an actual culinary show, which was never
intended. I would have said
intended.
Elmer's glue, but, you know.
But you feed lots of people Elmer's, not just Pac-Man.
I know, yeah. You know.
All right, so Aaron, we'll move on to you. Now, Aaron, you've bought the new iPhone 4S, and at night you can hear it plotting with your blender to have you killed.
Okay.
Oh, man, I thought we were all going to get the same problem. I'm sitting over here writing, well, you know, Pac-Man does eat fruit. Because he does. Also, why couldn't we just call Blinky, Inky, Pinky, and Clyde and solve the problem permanently?
I think Misty will give you a bonus point just for plotting Pac-Man's demise over a dietary problem.
I don't want your pity points. I'm just learning how to play the game.
Aren't we all? That's the problem to be solved.
Steve, just take the points however you can get them.
Oh, is that what it is? All right.
Oh my God, yes. I'm third out of all of us, and it's a tie for third. So get your points however you can.
Aaron, quickly solve your problem before Rox and Misty are in a show together fighting crime.
Can you just stop here and just give Roxanne Aaron's point?
Oh, it's like that, is it? First you take us as slaves, then you take away my points. Jeez, American and Irish, they never
I hear you complaining about the slavery, Aaron.
Well, I got to wear that nice slave Leia outfit. I thought
exactly. It's just the chains. I know they chafe.
And besides, it's your birthday, Aaron. I'll share my points with you. You can have one of mine.
That's a pity point. Don't take it.
Yeah.
I've often gotten one for pity late at night. Well, the number one killer of iPhones is toilets, as everyone well knows over the years. So I think what I would have to do is basically offer the blender a shower. A sexy shower, which I often have in my appliances. And hopefully at some point during the scuffle, I could throw it also into the toilet, and I would have an awful blockage for a couple of weeks. But that probably brings us back to the gluten problem with JJ. So I should probably leave it there.
All right. Excellent. Aaron, I'll give you 3 points. That includes a bonus point for even though your opponents were very clever in trying to get you off track, you focused and went straight to sexy shower. So well played. Well played. All right. Rox, this next one's for you. Solve this. Zombie kittens.
Oh, well, everybody loves kittens. You just find a nice basket. And you just put free kittens to a good home, to the side of the road. Add an apple with each kitten. It's done.
I don't personally feel that zombie kittens are a problem.
I know.
I think they're an awesome.
Should have one.
Mm-hmm.
With an apple.
I will give Rox. I'll bestow 3 points upon you. That includes a bonus point for sneaking in our sponsors, which is the National Apple Council. I'm sure they didn't expect to get a mention there, but well done.
I didn't know they had any money.
that gets to the core of the matter.
I
know. I'm sorry. I'm subtracting a point from myself right now.
It's okay. You only pipped me to that joke.
Oh,
God. So
I'm sorry.
No,
yeah,
no,
I've got some juice and seed puns that I'm not even going to talk about.
That's probably for the best. All right, Misty, we'll move to you next. Misty, your problem is this. You find yourself in a noir film, but while the rest of the world is black and white, you're still conspicuously in color.
Mm. So it's like this, see. I'm sitting in a detective's office, and all of a sudden I look down and I got this long red dress on. And I look out the window, and he says, "What's that?" And we both heard it.
It's the coppers. Meh.
And so I ran out of the room and I didn't have to deal with it.
I really felt like I was there. So that obviously means 3 points for you, Misty. Well done. At the end of that round, I tally up the scores. I told you it was Calvin Ball. I tally up the scores. And everyone's tied at 3 points. Well done. All right, now, okay. We're going to do another similar round, but this time I'm going to give you a problem. However, I'm also going to forbid you to use the most obvious item, the one which would give you the easiest solution. This is in order to test your creativity. When you go to your toolbox to grab this item, you find you're fresh out. So, Aaron, this one's for you. You're catching a cab home with a haddock with the promise of splitting the bill. However, the item you do not have is your wallet.
Did you say a haddock?
Yes, I did. I said a haddock.
Is this a callback to last week?
I don't know what you're talking about, Aaron. Why would I call back to a haddock?
Okay.
Because you had such a great time.
Let me take a second for that one. Okay, well, obviously, I'm taking the haddock back to mine for a little bit of trout pouting. And you know, in these sort of situations, you want to show off. You want to be a cool guy. So rather than actually pay the cab driver, I make out with the cab driver. And to show off my making out skills before making out with the haddock. Because all the ladies love, well, fish ladies. Human ladies are a different story altogether. They're much more complicated. But trout ladies, haddock ladies, they love a guy who can snog a cab driver in a cold night with a beard. So I think that is the only and true way to get out of that situation and also get a little bit of making out for yourself. I don't know. That was the best I could come up with.
No, I'll give you 3 points there for somehow working in some sort of strange eroticism and the idea of fish ladies, which is, I guess, a nod to Lovecraft. So everyone loves a nod to Lovecraft.
Yeah, that Innsmouth. That Innsmouth answer.
Oh, yes, indeed. That's very
deep. I'm just glad I didn't go with fish hooking.
Oh God!
And here I thought you were going to give your cab driver a.
Well, you didn't have your wallet, Aaron.
God.
I know.
All right, moving right along. Moving right along. All right, JJ. Here is your situation. Solve this. Frosty the Snowman has become inanimate in your kitchen because his magic hat is missing. Now the item you do not have is obviously the magic hat.
Okay.
I stole it.
I'm not surprised, Rox.
And I knew that from the dirigible that was leaving the house. Well, the first thing I would probably do which just seems logical, is I would probably try all of my hats on Frosty, because, you know, of course you want to see if, you know, maybe something, maybe it's not a magic hat, but maybe you have a hat that's, you know, got a little bit of hocus pocus in there. But of course, you know, all of my hats are not very magical, so I don't really see that being that much of a solution. So what I think I would probably do is, you know, they always say about Frosty that he was the life of every party. So I think what I would probably do is invite about 50 of my closest friends over, and you know, and wait till everything started, you know, thumping and everybody was dancing. And if that didn't do it, I think we just have to put him in the deep freeze. See, yeah, see, we put him on ice.
Guys, run! The coffers.
Okay.
I came at him with a chisel and started serving drinks.
It was that chick in the red dress.
Yeah.
That haddock in the red dress.
The hooker.
Oh, God.
No coats for everybody.
She was a doll for hire.
This is the solution that dreams are made of.
So, JJ, 3 points for that, for doing the sudden left turn into Callbackville. Oh, God. Black and white. All right, so
the solution that dreams are made of is what's left when Frosty melts.
Sleep tight, kids. All right, so Misty, this next one's for you.
Oh no.
Your problem is this. Your hamster has become possessed by a demon. The items you do not have to solve it are obviously an old priest or a young priest.
Okay, so here's my solution. My solution is I call all the TV networks and I have them come over. And we start this huge marketing campaign and put them on t-shirts on Cafe Press. And when we make $1 million, I'll get him a little wheel so that he can just run around and run around and get his crazy exorcisms out. And when the demons fall out of him and go into me, we'll start the marketing process all over again. You have seen Mind Freak, right? This shit works.
I think Misty will give you an unassailable 2 points there for the idea of giving a hamster an exorcism wheel. So. Mm-hmm. Well played. And Rox, we have this last one for you. Rox, you're facing down the Christopher Lee incarnation of Dracula. The one item you do not have is Peter Cushing.
Oh! Simple. I will dial up Michael Go.
And he's still
Hello,
with us,
sir.
So he can help
yes,
you.
He's- Well, you know, he's on ice.
With Frosty.
With Frosty.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how I'll do it.
Well done. Rox, we'll give you a nice 2 points there for going to a hammer actor who's still with us and who can help you. And probably would, actually.
Right.
So at the end of those rounds, I can tell you that tied for first place, we have JJ and Aaron. And coming up just 1 point behind them, tied Rox and Misty.
Yay!
Fantastic. So, now, for our next rounds, we're going to need buzzers. And we are recording this over Skype, which means that buzzing in is a problem because you can't buzz over the internet. It just doesn't work. But I figured because we have problem solvers here, the problem of having their own buzzers would be easy for everyone to solve. So, let's see what everyone's buzzers are. Aaron, what is your buzzer? Well done. And Misty, what is yours?
Quit your jibber jabber.
That's fantastic. JJ, yours? Indeed, the classic sonic screwdriver. And Rox, what is yours? That is.
Are you doing that yourself, Roxanne? Or are you?
Yes,
playing?
I am. I awesome. Am that talented.
That is,
you are that multitasking is what you're doing.
It's gone from problem solving to beat poetry. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. All right, so now we'll move on to round three, where those buzzers will come in handy. It's a not as quick fire round in which players can buzz in on each other's answers. So once the answer is given, give them some time to get it out. You can buzz in for one of three reasons. If you feel there is a problem your colleague has not foreseen. If you think you have a better altogether solution, or if you can argue for it's why it's not actually a problem in the first place. So, Aaron, we'll start with you. Aaron, you have been kidnapped by a rogue group of garden gnomes.
Right. Okay. Well, as often been the case by college students since the film Amelie was released many moons ago. The in-hip thing to do is to send postcards of where your gnome is from around the world to mess with the, you know, the squares' heads. So I think I would just go on a around the world trip and just, you know, suntan. I don't think I'd really be having a problem with this. I think I'd enjoy myself. I wanted to see more of the world. I wanted to see Paris.
So you'd basically be hanging out with a group of world traveling gnomes.
Yeah, I mean, it's every kid's dream, right?
I guess so. Rox, what have you to say about this? I hear you buzzing in.
Yes. How much are you getting kickback from Travelocity?
Mm-hmm.
More than probably you're getting for the Apple Council, I'll say that.
I'm not at liberty to say.
As being a leprechaun, we're already copyrighted by a few other things, so Travelocity can't use me as a trademark, unfortunately.
Yes, JJ.
So I want to know, how is a leprechaun going to get into the Disney copyrighted gnome mobile? Because we know that that's how they all travel. I've seen that movie.
Two words, magic motherfuckers.
How can you dispute magic?
Well,
you can't.
Yeah, I know. He's played the ultimate card. Yes, yes, Misty.
I have a problem with Aaron and magic.
Oh, yes.
I, as somebody who does that for a living, I just want to see a little evidence of how it's real.
Well, I can just say something's levitating right now.
Oh, and I suppose you want us to make it disappear. Buzzing again.
Middle name, period. Last name, T.
I don't know if you heard that, but he said first name Misty. Misty and I are that tight.
Oh, that was disturbing. Now, we'll move on to the next one then, very quickly and swiftly. Rox, this next one is for you. Rox, you're performing at a children's party, but you come to realize that the children are the children of the damned.
Oh.
Welcome to my Tuesday, Roxanne. Okay.
Are we talking about the old 1950s, 60s version or the one with Christopher Reeve?
We were talking about the original version, yes.
Okay.
50s, 60s version.
Okay. Wow. Considering my mind is a steel trap.
I don't mean to laugh at that. I'm sorry.
The little bee that is my brain just sort of zings around. There's absolutely no way at all these kids could get into my brain. And if they do, they will be shocked because there would be like an implosion into their own heads. So after of them trying to penetrate into my head, I'll just say, would you like some licorice? And that would freak them out. And they would collapse. Done.
Yes, JJ.
It's widely known that no child likes licorice. Your plan isn't going to work. You've got to come up with a better candy, at least.
I like licorice. I'm one of those weird. Children. See, now, so okay, here you go. This shows my superiority. Is as a child, even now, black licorice has always been my number one candy.
Don't give me no alien. Back, sucker.
Oh yeah, yes, Misty.
Siding with JJ, black licorice is gross. It's gross, and it should be eradicated.
Yeah, yes, Aaron.
Are children of the corn also allergic to gluten?
I don't know about children of the corn, but we were talking about Children of the Damned, which is a completely different sci-fi horror film. Yes, Aaron. Well, yes, Aaron got in first. Yes.
Can I pay attention in future?
Okay, Misty, I think you got in next. Yes.
Oh. What? I had the buzzer next?
Yes, I thought you buzzered. Yes.
Totally forgot what I wanted to say.
That's okay. That's okay.
JJ, sorry.
JJ, go.
Oh, that's okay. The moment has passed. I was going to say they're not lactose or they're not gluten intolerant, but they are lactose intolerant. Look at their eyes.
Ooh.
All right. Who has a problem with Red Hot Dollars?
What are they?
It's made by the people who
strippers
did ask.
Strippers do.
And scene. Okay, moving on to the next one. Yeah, strippers is the best way to end any routine. All right, so Misty, this one's for you. You have been buried alive.
Yes, I have.
You have. I don't mean in this podcast. You've planned for the contingency. You were supposed to have a bell that could have been rung to bring help, but you can't find the rope anywhere.
Oh, you mean like the old rigging where the bell came up out of the coffin and
was
above
it? Yes, very, think Edgar Allan Poe.
But I can't find the rope in the coffin with me?
That's right.
Okay. So I'm going to begin to scratch my way out. And I'm just going to start to chew. And I'm just going to take my little finger and just start to work. Because I know I've only got about an hour's worth of air in there, realistically speaking. So I'm just going to start to chew and peel and then use my crazy beaver teeth to gnaw from the inside out and just eat the dirt all the way up. Because it is gluten-free. You don't have to laugh with sympathy.
No.
Our resident chef has a problem.
No. That was actually Aaron. Yes, Aaron.
I have a problem with the premise. I find it hard to believe that Misty can't find the rope.
You know what? That's a pretty good point, Aaron.
I really hope that didn't cross a line.
Not at all.
It certainly didn't cross a rope. Oh, jeez.
Here we go.
Oh, yes. Rox, what you got?
Well, what kind of coffin is it? Is it steel lined or is it just one of those wooden ones or one with like fabric, satin?
It's
wouldn't
all
you want
delicious.
To just stay? Is satin edible?
Misty is putting forward the idea that she's the real world equivalent of Matter Eater Lad, I guess. I'm on a podcast where people actually get that joke. That's fantastic.
I didn't get it. I just said yes.
I got it well enough.
Trained to say yes.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. She yes ended me. That's wonderful.
I did. I just yes to you. It was lazy.
But it's working so hard. Okay. All right. We'll end it there and move on to JJ. We have one final one for you. JJ, you are trapped in an elevator, and the elevator music playing is a continuous loop of the Captain and Tennille's Muskrat Love.
Now, I will say that I, as a shameful confession, when I was very young, I had that 8-track. So I would be okay longer than most people. because you can kind of get into it for a little while of the story of, you know, Muskrat Susie and Muskrat Sam. But, man, then you kind of got to flip a coin on to whether or not you want to climb on top of the elevator and chew through the cable or chew through your own wrist. I'm going to try to chew through the cable. Because if you're really trying to get away from Muskrat Love, you can't chew across your wrist. You need to chew up your arm. And I know.
Don't make me mad.
Yes, Misty.
I think chewing was my solution. And JJ's just copying.
I can't.
I love you, JJ.
Crisis, I've been found out.
And the coppers arrive and everyone runs. Yeah. Good Lord.
Aaron Poole, get me out of trouble.
He gets into trouble
like,
and out of trouble.
Effect.
Yeah, so he's trying
I know,
to.
No, I didn't. It was like a drum noise. So.
That's Rox's buzzer. Quit screwing up. Oh, God. All right. We will end it there then.
He was
then.
Chewing.
Oh, okay. I think he was chewing. I think he's gone for the cable. So we'll leave it at that. So what I could tell you is, what's that?
I would never go for cable. I hated 90s comics.
Oh.
Also, Comcast is expensive.
It is.
And not very good. That's why we only have 4 panelists. If we did 5, I would be completely robo right now. Oh, wait, yes, Aaron, yes.
I would like points for not making another euphemism about eating the cable.
Ba-dum-ba-dum.
I would like Aaron to have a point for that.
Yay. Misty has spoken. So, therefore, I can tell you out of at the end of that round, we have Rox is in an unassailable 4th place, followed by 1 point by JJ, followed by 1 point by Aaron, and Misty, for tolerating Aaron, is in the lead.
I love Aaron. I love him.
We've recorded that, right? That's on record.
Yes, we have it.
Ringtone.
love you, Aaron.
Slower, but with a French accent.
Oh, dear Jeebus. All right, so moving on to round four. It's our group round. Now, here's how this works. I will be giving you a complicated problem to solve. And as part of your solution, you should mention someone else you're going to contact for help. And at that point, I will say freeze, and I will assign that role to someone else on the panel. And then you must work together to solve the problem. Now, based on our pilot episode, like before, I will be giving out bonus points if you can actually work towards a resolution instead of utter and complete destruction. So, we'll start with, I actually have a group one, and this is for JJ and Aaron. It's a team one for the two of you. So, JJ, you are Butch Cassidy. Aaron, you are the Sundance Kid. Outside is the Bolivian Army. And I think the problem is obvious. Eventually, there's not going to be a freeze frame, if you catch my drift. So go ahead and start, and we'll bring other people in as the spirit moves us.
Raindrops keep falling on my head. I just thought we'd start with the montage.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, hey, my. Butch. Hey, Butch.
Yes, Cisco.
I have not seen the movie, so this is the voice I'm going to do as a Sundance Kid.
That's okay. I can't do a cowboy accent, or I'd be doing one now too, partner.
Awesome. There's like Bolivians outside. Are they going to make us coffee?
I don't know. They might be making us Swiss cheese, if you know what I mean. Yeah, see? Damn it. This isn't a film noir.
No, you are in color.
Shit, the Bolivians are coming.
Okay, well, I have an idea. If we go and charge them, there's only one way that's going to end.
And how much do we charge them, and do they ask for a tip?
Oh.
I'm buzzing myself out of this game. Oh, sorry, now we're going.
Okay, there's only one way this is going to end. Or if we charge them, we know it's only going to end one way. We know if we charge them, it's going to end in a freeze frame. And by freeze frame, I mean we're dead.
It's a good thing we watched a DVD before we got into the situation.
Yes. Well, I've already expunged all the knowledge I have of this. We're going to jump off a cliff and we're going to get killed. That's all I know.
No, JJ, what we must do is find the best way to get out of this situation. We should call the director of this movie.
Oh, yes, we should. Do you know who directed it? I don't.
I haven't seen the movie. How the fuck am I going to know who directed it?
Okay, wait a minute. All we have to do is get the Bolivians to just hang up a minute. And we shall go to IMDb. And the only way we can go to IMDb is to contact the inventor of the internet, Al Gore.
Let's pause and cut to the chase. Rox, you are George Roy Hill, the director of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
That's way easier. Thanks, God.
You're welcome, my children.
The commentary on this DVD is awesome. It's really insightful.
Thank God for the SAP channel.
So make the call to Rox, who is George Roy Hill.
Hello?
Hey, Georgie, Porgy, Puddin' Pie. We got a problem.
Who the fuck is this?
Me? I'm wait, which one am I? You're
Butch.
I'm Butch. I'm Butch Cassidy, yo.
You're Robert Redford?
I was your second choice as a Sundance Kid.
Ah. Wait, yeah, he's Robert Redford. I'm Paul Newman. I got eyes.
Listen, we're already in a big pile of mess. Let's not get bogged down by details.
Are you on drugs? Because I'm kind of drinking at the moment. So, what is it? Are you having a problem with your contract?
No, we're surrounded by Bolivians, also known as Teamsters.
Oh, I paid them off last week. You shouldn't have a problem. Really?
Did you just get shot? What happened?
I dropped some ice on Frosty. He's over for a party. We're making drinks. So,
this motherfucker's crazy.
They're okay.
Okay, what we need you to do, you are the director of this film.
I am, okay.
What we need you to
scene?
Do, we need you
George?
To change.
George. George, honey. Yes. Honey, I want you to come back to bed. Are they calling you about those Bolivians again? Just tell them all they got is handguns and assault rifles. It should be no problem to wipe them out because all they have are small arms.
Okay, sweetie, hold on.
Okay,
we just make a dwarf joke?
All right.
Time? Damn.
I'm calling time.
I was totally going to turn this into a musical, but that's okay.
If the spirit moves, you sing a few bars.
Well,
hope we don't get hired for the sequel.
Yeah, really.
End scene.
Well, Rox was playing the director, so it only makes sense that she would say that. And bonus points to Misty for jumping in and
making a bad joke.
Trying to call George back to bed. Dear God. All right. We'll move on to the next one then. Rox, you are Lara Croft Tomb Raider. And you are trying to decipher an ancient manuscript so you can find an artifact that will help save the world.
I've done this.
I know you have, so you can speak from experience.
Okay. Oh my gosh. It's the Weekly World News. It's undecipherable. What should I do? Gosh, you know what? On the page three, these crossword puzzles always do me in. Wow. It's like it's all backwards. I know there is plans on how to stop the world from ending. So what I need to do is call Will Shorts of the New York Times, who works on puzzles, and I know he would help me out because he's a really nice man. I know that because he's always on that Sunday morning show with puzzles. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call it Will Shorts.
Excellent. All right, JJ, you are Will, and Rox, make the call.
Hi, Will. I'm a fan of your New York Times crossword puzzles.
Leanne, are you coming back to Sunday morning?
Yes,
this is Leanne, Hansen, right?
I'm her understudy, Laura.
Oh,
I'm
Laura.
I'm her twin.
Oh.
Anyway, Will, I have a unique puzzle. Okay. It's undecipherable. It seems to be an obscure Weekly World News puzzle. Do you think you can help me out?
Okay. Well, the first thing you need to do with most puzzles is go ahead and write the letters down of the puzzle into a pyramid. That way you're not looking at them in a way that your brain is forming words yet. You can see it and it's more of a shapeless mass.
I did see that documentary about the crossword puzzles. Okay. I don't remember anybody doing that, Will.
Well, have you tried turning it off and on?
It's a piece of paper, Will.
Freeze. Misty, I'd like you to come in as a gray alien at this point.
Of course you do.
Quiet, you.
Well, Laura, I'm taking a look at this here, and I'm seeing that the clue to three across, it starts four letters, and it starts with a C, and then there's a blank, and then a D, and then a blank.
Hmm. What could that be?
I've got an E at the end, so we got C, blank, D, E. Do you have a hot dog?
Actually, I do in my backpack. That must be code.
It is. Oh, here. Look, every time you say it, it appears. Here you go.
Oh, my gosh.
I knew that.
This is amazing. Did you know this, Will? Did you know this?
Of course. It's a code. It's simple. Simple. It had to be code.
Freeze, Aaron, we'll want you to come in at this point, and because you are Irish or from Europe, that would make you a computer specialist, just like in every other American movie of this type.
Hey, guys, I did the walkthrough on this level. You just press up, up, down, right, right, left, and triangle. This is how you get past this option.
All right, Mr. Alien. All right, it was, what was that? Up, up. Do we have the buttons for this?
Yes, they appeared as soon as you said it.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah,
up.
You just press pause, bring up the tutorial.
Wait a minute. Tutorial, pause. Pause, up. Gosh,
boy, this room is getting really crowded.
Can you step back? Thank you. You're emitting some sort of odd odor. Thank you.
Up, I'm sorry. Up, I had herring and haddock for lunch.
Thank God I'm not actually in this room.
Okay.
I'm on the phone.
All right. Scene. We'll call time. any haddock callback, it means pretty much it's time to call time.
I just sit here terrified I'm going to be fired from this podcast. I'm just sitting there going, my God, they're just going to hang up.
And I'll have like, fear the Skype, every time.
The Skype connection just gets disconnected and Widget just won't return my Facebook messages. I'm just like,
If that ever, trust me, these people can attest to the fact, if I ever hang up, it's because of Comcast. So
Oh.
Yeah, it's
I can't get you off the phone.
God.
Just walk away. Just walk away.
Put it down.
Just stop. All right. So.
Still on.
Oh, my God. All right. So we'll move on. We'll move on to the final one. Now, Misty, this last one is for you. You are the first paramedic on the scene of Humpty Dumpty's tragic fall.
Mm-hmm. It's sad. It kind of is if you're not hungry. My solution to this problem is a hot plate, and I'm calling J.J. Hawkins over for breakfast.
Pause. J.J., you are yourself.
Well, hey, pleasant to meet you.
Nice to meet you too, J.J. Thanks for coming over. Hey, look at what I got here. Free egg.
Hey, and hey, it looks like it's free range. Look at the yellowness of that yolk.
I mean, he's still kind of alive. He's crying, but you don't think he'll notice, do you? This is kind of cool.
Here's just salt, which seasons the eggs.
I know. Oh, he's crying even harder. I guess it kind of hurts. I'm sorry, man.
Well, I tell you what. Let me, if we're going to have
is
breakfast.
Is that our daddy? Did he fall?
Oh my God.
That's our dad.
They look delicious. Here, come here, sweetie.
Down.
Let me. Here, come here, sweetie. Here, let me put you up on the wall.
No,
you must be so.
Oh, those yolks. I can make a really nice French toast.
Mm-hmm.
Does this mean we're not going to Disneyland anymore? No,
you're going, but you're going in my tummy.
Okay, so I see a very large egg omelet and some French toast.
Mm-hmm. Here, I'll cook it up. Clear, motherfucker.
Thank God we had the you were an EMT and we had that why can I not think of the electro charger things?
They're
all the
paddles.
Stuff? I had that work.
Mm-hmm. It's the hopo coming to share in the eggy joy.
And they're bringing gangsters.
That's right. And they're all gonna look at the camera and monologue about how delicious this morning meal is. Thank you, Humpty Dumpty and family.
What scene?
That just happened.
I know it did.
Thank you, Internet.
Thank you, Al Gore. Somebody give him a call and let him know that just happened.
He'll be so proud
to let you do that.
That is an inconvenient truth if I've ever heard one.
Oh.
For Humpty Dumpty, it is.
It's your chance to eat the hump.
I'm not quite sure why I didn't think that would. I didn't expect that to turn into egg genocide.
It was delicious.
Humpty was taken care of.
What's that, JJ?
I would argue that was solved. I mean, took care of it.
I am not arguing against that. I would say it was solved as well. I just didn't expect it to be solved in such
carnage.
Tasty genocide. Light and fluffy. Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear God. All right.
We're going to be approached by the Egg Council.
I know.
Been bad.
They're not our sponsor.
Screw them. Throw some apples in.
That's it.
Oh, God. All right. Well, now that I can breathe again, I can tell you that brings us to the end of the round and the end of the show.
And the end of Humpty Dumpty.
And the end of Humpty Dumpty, but the start of a beautiful brunch. So now I'll take a moment to total up the scores. And I see that, we have, in an unassailable and strong fourth place, we have Roxy Spaz House. coming in just above her is, JJ Hawkins in third place.
Yeah.
In second place, we have Aaron Poole. And
I was robbed.
You were.
You
were
robbed.
Stole your lawn.
And in first place, that's Misty Lee.
Why? Why? I did nothing. That's not fair.
We're nice to the new people.
Yes, no.
She pulled points out of her hat.
She does that.
Oh, if it was up to Aaron, I'd pull them from somewhere else.
Ringtone.
Happy birthday, Aaron. This was all
Thank
for you.
You.
Hi, it's your birthday.
I got what I wished for.
You should aim higher next year.
I won't tell you where I'm aiming right now.
I already know.
Oh, wow. All right. So it just leaves me to say Thank you to everyone for listening to Solve This. We've solved a lot of things on this podcast, some of which probably shouldn't be broadcast. But I will say this, if you have a problem that's been bothering you and you'd like to present it to a panel of experts for the amusement of the world, then
go
you can...
somewhere else. But... I'm kidding. I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, please. That's trust me. If you heard any of the podcasts on you, that's what I do, is I get interrupted. It feels like home. So if you do want to send in a problem, please do. We accept them. You can send the problem in an email to solvethis@needcoffee.com. So until next time, on behalf of Aaron Poole, J.J. Hawkins, Roxas Spazhouse, and Misty Lee, this is me, Widget Wall, saying goodbye. So, goodbye!
End scene!
That just happened.